especially now, especially after what we witnessed this week. Welcome back to another edition of Radio or Not. It is Nicole Sandler here, and it is Friday, September 5th. We are a day under 2 months away from the November 4th presidential election, and the Republicans just wrapped up their primary last night in St. Paul. This is actually going to be a fairly short edition of Radio or Not today. I went out last night, and it was a late night. I went to see Kathy Griffin. She, I got to tell you, is one funny lady. I accepted an invitation to see her at the Hard Rock, and see, I chose that over watching John McCain's acceptance speech. I figured I'd rather be laughing with the person speaking than at the person speaking. Anyway, I got home late, and then I watched the speech thanks to the magical device known as TiVo. But I probably shouldn't have. It was just very depressing. First, let me say this. John McCain is not exactly the most dynamic speaker out there. Something about his voice makes my skin crawl. And now, what I was going to do today is what I did yesterday with Sarah Palin's speech and play back the whole thing with running commentary, invite you to scream back at the computer, but I just could not sit through that speech again. I started, and I was reminded of that old Lay's potato chips jingle. You know, she tried, but she couldn't do what she tried. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Just entered my mind. I told you it was a late night last night. But in case you're wondering, Jeffrey Toobin, it was an analyst for CNN. He wrote a brilliant book on the Supreme Court called The Nine. Anyway, he offered this bit of a critique to Wolf Blitzer about John McCain's speech.
Well, I had a very strong reaction to the speech, Wolf, and others may disagree. I thought it was the worst speech by a nominee that I've heard since Jimmy Carter in 1980. Oh. I thought it was disorganized. I thought it was themeless. I thought it was very, very boring until the end when he started talking about his personal story, which is, of course, remarkable and always important to hear. I personally cannot remember a single policy proposal that he made because they had nothing connecting them. I found it shockingly bad.
Jeff, the next time you have to tell us how you really feel.
All right, so tell us how you really feel. I tend to agree. But again, there's something just slimy about John McCain, and I'll get to it. I pulled out a few clips just to give you an idea of the things that bothered me. Now, again, we could be here all day talking about the things that bother me about John McCain, and we'll get to some of the bullet points, all right? But right at the beginning, you'll notice throughout the speech, he never once mentioned George Bush's name, although he did give our president some accolades.
I'm grateful to the president of the United States for leading us in these dark days, following the worst attack on American history.
Okay, did he mention that it was George W. Bush who, on whose watch this attack occurred? They never seem to bring that up. I don't understand why. But that was the only reference to W.
The worst attack on American soil in our history and keeping us safe from another attack.
Oh, another attack. Because he didn't keep us safe from the first one. Many thought was inevitable. The bottom line is, John, old Georgie didn't keep us safe from the first attack. Even though he was warned ahead of time, there was a presidential daily briefing titled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. It was delivered to old W. on the ranch in Crawford by Condi. And he was too busy on vacation. He didn't have time to deal with it. You know what? If Al Gore were in the White House, I can pretty much guarantee that if he had gotten that presidential daily briefing, he would have acted on it. Not only that, you know, the outgoing Clinton administration actually cited Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda as the biggest terrorism threat to the U.S. Well, from the time that the transition took place from the Clinton White House to the Bush White House, the Bush administration did not one thing. They didn't have one counterterrorism meeting to deal with bin Laden, al-Qaeda, or any other terrorist faction. All right, let's move on and hear what John McCain had to say about himself.
I've been called a maverick. Someone who marches to the beat of his own drum. Sometimes it's meant as a compliment, and sometimes it's not. What it really means is I understand who I work for. I don't work for a party. I don't work for a special interest.
Oh, really?
I don't work for myself.
Really?
Yeah. I work for you.
No, no. See, actually, John McCain works for the neocons who put him in the role of the nominee. See, John McCain sold his soul to the devil. John McCain somehow managed to agree to turn his positions on just about everything 180. You have John McCain, who ran in 2000, and John McCain, who's running in 2008, and they are diametrically opposed on every issue. I mean, even down to legislation that John McCain himself wrote and now won't vote for. Yeah, so who does John McCain work for? Karl Rove, perhaps? The Project for a New American Century, perhaps? I don't know. You figure it out.
Let me just offer an advance warning.
Yeah?
To the old big spending, do nothing, me first, country second crowd.
Wait. To the me first, country second crowd? Who is he talking about? George Bush? Dick Cheney? I guess because they're the ones who are up in the value of their oil stocks at our expense. That must be it, right?
Change is coming.
You're damn right it is. Because change will get the Republicans out of the White House and put the Democrats in, and then we can change things in Washington. Why do you think it's broken there, you moron? It's broken because your people have been running it into the ground. My God, I'm in a pissy mood today. All right, so I couldn't sit through the whole thing again. I just couldn't do it. And I pulled those clips, and you know what? I'm done. I can't do it. So I thought I will just throw out some random observations now that we're past the two conventions. We're rolling towards November 4th. And I hope you will call your random thoughts in as well. The number is 954-889-6410. Now, if I'm not in the studio, you'll get the voicemail. Just leave a message, and perhaps I'll use your call on the show next week, okay? 954-889-6410. And it's there on the blog at radioornot.com. All right, so here are my random observations. The Democratic Convention was an uplifting event. I smiled while I was watching. People were happy and full of hope and good thoughts for the future. It was a feel-good fest, you know? And then I watched the Republican Convention. This was a mean-spirited affair. There were venomous attacks, sarcastic snipes, and just generally angry people. Did you see the looks on the faces of the people in the crowd? They were angry. They weren't happy. They weren't hopeful about the future. The Democrats spoke of ending wars, putting people to work, creating new green energy sources, and getting us off of foreign oil. The Republicans spoke fighting words, trying to continue instilling fear in people instead of a peaceful intent. And nothing of conservation. Of course, drilling seems to be their word of choice. You know, let's talk for a second about Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani was the most venomous of all. Sarah Palin, she was just sarcastic and smarmy and snide and ew. But Rudy Giuliani was just a mean prick. He was just nasty and, oh my God, I want to take his lisp and pull his tongue out of his mouth. Sorry, that's what the Republicans do to me. Anyway, the Republicans continued the action that they've relied on for the last 8 years to counter all the wrongs and illegal acts they've committed. They lied. They continue to lie. I felt like I needed a shower. Now, especially after watching the despicable speeches by Rudy, 9/11 Giuliani, and Sarah, I said no thanks to the bridge to nowhere my ass, Palin. As I said, slimy as can be, and I still can't wipe the ooze from my television. All right, Rudy Giuliani, he's another one. I can't watch that speech again. I sat here and watched it live while it was day night, and I was screaming at the television. I just, here's an example of his meanness, his snideness, his miserableness.
He stood up to special interests. He fought for fiscal discipline and ethics reform and a strong national defense. That's the one choice. That's the one man. On the other hand, you have a resume from a gifted man with an Ivy League education. He worked as a community organizer.
Yeah.
What?
Listen to him.
He worked. I said...
I don't know what they're chanting.
I said...
Yeah?
Okay, okay. Maybe this is the first problem on the resume.
The fact that he worked as a community organizer, that's a problem on the resume? What, instead of, you know, taking a big money job at a law firm, which he was offered and turned down to be a community organizer? The cons ridiculed and made fun of Obama's working as a community organizer, getting down and actually working with people on the community level to help them improve their lot in life, worthy of ridicule? Again, the slime is oozing. All right. And then, okay, so finally, John McCain. John McCain last night was just sad. This poor man, this poor elderly senior citizen, 72 years old, who should just be bouncing his grandchildren on his knee, who once claimed that his POW experience was personal and shouldn't be injected into a political race, is now encroaching on Rudy's 9/11 territory. You know, I'm sorry that John McCain was such a lousy pilot that he got shot down. This man lost 5 of our fighter jets. The 5th time was the charm, so to speak, that landed him in the Hanoi Hilton. But he was a lousy pilot. He was a bad officer. He graduated 5th from the bottom of his class of about 650 people in the Naval Academy, and the only reason he got in the first place was because his father was an admiral. So his father was an admiral. It reminds me of, hey, George Bush and his Yale legacy. And his you know, you got to be proud of George Bush's Yale career, where he was a cheerleader. Yeah! Rah! Sorry, I'll take the editor of the Harvard Law Review. And they're ridiculing him. I will take Obama's character over that of a man like John McCain, who holds no resemblance to the candidate who ran in the Republican primary 8 years ago. And then to make matters worse, 8 years ago, McCain was smeared and subjected to despicable whisper poll campaigns. You know, they would call you and say, and you'd answer the phone and say, hi, we're taking a poll. Can we get your opinion on a few matters? What would you, if you heard that John McCain had fathered an illegitimate black child, would that make you think any worse of him? They really did that to him. And guess what? They were so effective that John McCain hired those same people, the people who were responsible for doing that to him, to help run this campaign for him. Yeah, did it sink in yet? He's diametrically opposed to just about every position he campaigned on in 2000. This is a man who says he was tortured, but then votes to allow our government to torture others. This is a man who wrote an immigration bill that he now will not vote for. He's voting against his own bill. He was against Bush's tax cuts for the wealthy, now wants to keep them indefinitely. And he has the nerve to say that Obama is a flip-flopper? See, I've told you, Republicans are great at spin. They write the script and they keep to it. And I'm telling you, Sarah Palin was right out of central casting, as was the subject of yesterday's show. She and her family look just right for the part. You know, they're attractive people. And she'll say whatever they tell her to say. You know, yeah, I pose the bridge to nowhere. Excuse me? In what reality are you living? All right. Here's a quote from Wednesday night. But he's never run a city, he's never run a state, he's never run a business, he's never run a military unit. He's never had to lead people in crisis. Now, I guess you could tell by the lisp. That was Rudy Giuliani talking about Obama. But let me read that again. Instead, I'll do it in my voice. But he's never run a city. He's never run a state. He's never run a business. He's never run a military unit. He's never had to lead people in crisis. See, that's me talking about John McCain. And Governor Palin, all right, she's run a state for a year and a half. That is the least populated state in the union. Governor Huckabee, man of God, liar, who he had a hilarious line there and said Governor Palin had more people vote for her for as mayor of Wasilla, Alaska, than voted for Joe Biden in the presidential primary. Bull. Wrong. In fact, I think it's something like 600 and 800 people voted for Sarah Palin for mayor of Wasilla, a town that when she became mayor had a budget surplus, and when she left had a $20 million deficit. This is a town of 5,000 people. How the hell do you do that? Yeah, she's run a city and a state. Now, the cons like to talk about Obama's church. Remember the whole Reverend Wright flack? Well, there's wait till you find out what goes on in Palin's cult. I'm not going to take the time today to play anything from her preachers or anything, but ooh, there's some good stuff out there. But I thought you might like to hear what Sarah Palin herself had to say, well, about the war in Iraq.
And track, pray for our military. He's going to be deployed in September to Iraq. Pray for our military men and women who are striving to do what is right also for this country, that our leaders, our national leaders, are sending them out on a task that is from God. That's what we have to make sure that we're praying for, that there is a plan and that that plan is God's plan.
So, what? Wait, the war in Iraq is a task from God. This is God's plan. What happens if God speaks to her in the middle of the night and tells her to nuke Iran or, you name it? Excuse me? Haven't we had enough of a guy in the White House taking his marching orders from God? Sorry. Frightens me just a little bit. Well, actually, more than a little bit. All right. Now, I told you I have to keep this short today. I've got some business to take care of, and I've had enough. I'm just so over this. And the thing that frightens the hell out of me is that they might get away with it. They just might get away with it. There's a great site to refute John McCain's speech last night, even if it was the worst political speech ever delivered. Thank you, Jeffrey Toobin. It's justmoreofthesame.com. Got it? Justmoreofthesame.com. Then you can /fact_check. And I'll link to it from the blog at radioornot.com. But here's the thought I'm going to leave you with for today and for the weekend. I'm saying this as much for me as for you. Keep the facts close by so you can answer the inflammatory, hate-filled lies being spread. We have 2 months to make sure the Republicans can't finish the job of destroying this country. You know, the job that George W. Bush started 8 years ago and is the only job he's done well. All right. Have a great weekend. I'm Nicole Sandler, and I'll talk to you Monday, radio or not.